The reason I'm better than all of my competitors is because I rest more than them. The habits that got you to this point in time, consistent hustle, no rest, they are now the things that are actually holding you back. Disconnect to unplug from everything that you've been plugged into. For some people, that feels too much. It's like, oh, if I did that, the whole business would fall apart, Joel. And so for you guys, I would say,
hey, Salon CEOs, welcome back to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now, let's be honest just for a minute. Most ambitious salon owners won't admit, at least out loud, that you're exhausted because you keep showing up, you keep smiling for the clients, fixing all the problems for the team, but underneath, you're probably running on fumes. And now that you're heading into the busiest season of the year, you know, what most salon owners don't realize is that the real danger zone actually isn't December. It's those days between Christmas and New Year when you either really fully switch off and reset, or you keep half working, half resting. Maybe you're actually working and you walk into January depleted. So in this episode, Joel's going to break down why the old success formula, being the one that never stops, never takes a break, never switches off, is exactly what's holding you back from growing. You're going to hear about the hidden cost of actually pushing through and why a quick check-in with your salon phone, Larissa, yes, speaking to myself, is more damaging than you think, and what it truly takes to return in January as a fully recharged CEO. Your business actually needs it. And so if you've ever said, oh, I can't keep doing it like this, then you keep doing it like this, then this episode is for you. It's a powerful shift to finally do things differently. Let's dive in with Joel.
Hey, team, and welcome back to the podcast. Super excited to share with you today a little bit about the concept, the idea, the reality of getting unplugged as a salon CEO, as an owner, as a leader. And if I can rewind you back to late November 2025, myself, Coach Greta, Larissa, Nat, Soph, and the team, we sat down with all of our owners in what we call a live one-day intensive, and we shared with them everything that they need and nothing that they don't for the next 10 weeks. It's a really tricky, important time of the year, December, January. You've got this kind of like wave, which is like, oh my gosh, let's make hay while the sun shines. It's December. Let's get that right. Let's get that amazing. Like, let's have, and this is what we called it, let's have a record-breaking December when it comes to revenue. So part of that intensive was about that. And the third part of intensive, if I can just jump to there, was all about making sure that you come back in 2026, whether it's the 3rd of January or the 13th or the 30th, and you have a really, really clear plan about how you want to start. And that clear plan shouldn't involve 15 things every single week, but rather one clear, specific tactic each week so that your January launches well. And we called that third section of intensive the 2026 launch plan, which brings me to the middle part, which is the part that kind of starts for many of us on the 24th of December, and it finishes anywhere between like the 3rd and the 15th of January for most salon owners. Of course, there's some of you that are out there that have a leveraged leadership structure, and you know, some of you take all of January off. Of course, there are those of you out there, but for many of us, it's roughly about a two-week break. And in this intensive, we talked about how do you get unplugged? Why should you get unplugged? And what does it mean to have a real two-week CEO reset? And so that's what I want to talk to you about, because I think many of us have really, really good intentions when it comes to leading our salon and our team and our business. I want to talk about the old formula for success. So the old formula for success, and the formula for success that some of us are still running on is you're the person that has slept the less in your team. You're still doing super early mornings or super late nights. You feel like you're grinding all the time. And if you look back over the last couple of months, like you've really taken zero breaks. Lunch breaks don't really exist. Weekends are just another opportunity to get ahead for you. And it feels like you're always plugged in to your business, constantly overthinking and solving problems, right? And that's the old formula for success, doing all of that. And it's what got you here. Like, let's make no mistake about it. Like, there is great intent. There is positiveness in what you have done. It's what got you to this level of success. And I think that's really, really important to understand, that those habits and behaviors got you to this point. And this point for you might be, I'm at $500,000 a year, Joel. I'm at 750K turnover each year. Maybe you're at 900K each year. Maybe you're even further along. Maybe you're in what we would call our boardroom level, over $1 million a year, and you're running like a really, really profitable business. Either way, it's your past habits and behaviors that have got you to here. And we call that the hustle era. And what the hustle era always produces is what we call the plateau problem. Like, eventually that runs out as a useful strategy. And so the strategy, the hustle era, actually starts to produce like a why isn't this working anymore kind of internal dialogue. And one of the reasons why it's not working anymore and why you might have plateaued is you're sort of hovering around that 600 to 800K mark possibly, and you're going, why is it that the numbers are sort of stagnant? Like, why have they slowed down? And part of the answer there is you're still relying on that old formula, that hustle's going to get me there. Like, no doubt in the beginning, like the harder you work, the longer you work. And I'm not saying that you should ever let that go as a potential strategy, but if it's the only strategy that you've been implementing, it's possibly the reason why you're experiencing a plateau when you look at the scoreboard, when you look at the accounts, when you look at the year-on-year profit margin or the year-on-year growth when it comes to revenue. I think the other thing to understand about the hustle era is that the habits that got you to this point in time, consistent hustle, no rest, they are now the things that are actually holding you back. And that's kind of, that's tough medicine to swallow. It's like, ooh, really? And I think if there was one other point that I want to make about the hustle era, it's you've got to understand, or not, that in order to elevate you, your team, your business, the numbers, you actually need to do something fundamentally different to the hustle. Because that's kind of like, it was good and it got me to here, but it ain't the same strategy that's going to get me to there. And so what your business really needs is it needs a recharged version of you. Not the same worn out, kind of pissed off, but great demeanor, know how to serve clients, always have had that ability to just switch it on and be who you need to be in the moment. But deep down, you're actually pretty buggered. Deep down, you're actually pretty worn out. And some of us are listening to this right now going, yeah, Joel, I am worn out. And so what I'm trying to say is that to get to your next level of growth, it actually requires a new approach. And that's okay, because that's why you're listening to this. So I want to introduce you to the not-so-secret weapon that high performers... Now, when I say high performers, I think it's really, really important to understand that high performers, by definition, are people that produce rare results. And you just look at the the data, right? Like if someone can run in the top 10% of humans on the planet in terms of time, they're a high performer. If someone can, create art to the value of over $1 million per piece, they're probably a high performer. If someone can create music that over 5 million people would buy that music or download it, they're probably a high performer. If you're a salon that's revered and respected and team members are attracted to you and people want to be in your, I'd say you're a high performer, right? And so the not so secret weapon to high performance is, of course, something that many high performers before us have spoken to and written books about. So what I shared back in November with our clients was that whether you're Arianna Huffington, LeBron James, Taylor Swift, or Bill Gates, all of those four people and so many others like them have all discovered that rest isn't a luxury. It's a necessity for reaching the next level. And they too, like you and me, have plateaued before. Like it's normal to plateau. And that's why the reinvention needs to occur, the new approach needs to occur. And what I fundamentally get from reading their books and following them is that rest is most definitely a part of their strategy for getting to the next level. Said a different way, when you recharge, you come back more creative, more strategic, and more capable of leading your team and your brand to new heights. I read Usain Bolt's book, and for those of you that don't know, he's now retired from sprinting, but he was the fastest man on the planet ever, recorded the fastest 100 meter ever. I think as a sprinter has more gold medals than anyone ever. I could be wrong about that. But in his book, I love this quote from his book. He was quoted as saying, "The reason I am better than all of my competitors is because," and you're expecting to hear like the secret drill that he did, you know, like the jumping over lots of hurdles that no one else has done before, but it's actually like he did that for like 10 years and now no one can catch him because he did this one thing. He said, "The reason I am better than all of my competitors is because I rest more than them. My secret weapon is I rest more than them." And I loved reading that because it's so counterintuitive to high performance. We think in order to perform at a high level sustainably over the long term, we need to do more than everybody else. And I think there's truth to that, but in and of itself, it's a flawed strategy that will have you plateau sooner than you want. So whether it's, you know, music or sport or business or your brand, if you want to break through that plateau, then this is a serious consideration for us. Are we willing to do something that we haven't probably done well in the last 20 years? Are we willing to give it a really good go? Because there's loads of higher performers than me, who have written about, documented, and shared their experience with true strategic rest. I wrote a quote for our clients, and it was kind of trying to capture the essence of what I've just shared with you. And it goes, "It seems backwards, but rest transforms your output. And when you increase your output, your business can't help but level way, way, way up." And I think that's important, is most of us think about output, the production of results, in the context of like, the more time I put in, the more I'll output. When in reality, it's the few things that you can do, that only you can do often, that will cause an influence and an effect and results that are so significant. And they leverage back to you time, and that's how you're rewarded, because you are such an expert at delivering the outputs that only you can deliver. And in order to do that, we need a rest. And so here's the metaphor for you as we go into your December break. The metaphor is that you need to unplug. And right now, I hope you can picture the pulling out of a cord out of this power socket. And it's a metaphor, it's figurative, but there's something about that word that's quite useful to unplug this Christmas, maybe from the 24th onwards for you, is often so super useful to disconnect, to unplug from everything that you've been plugged into. For some people, that feels too much. It's like, oh, if I did that, the whole business would fall apart, Joel. And so for you guys, I would say, and you know, like if you go to the gas station and like you just stop the car for a bit, like it's normally performing really well, but every now and then you just stop and you just need to like open up the gas tank and you just need to refuel. You just need to stop for like 10 minutes and just refuel. Maybe that's a better metaphor for you, is we need to actually take the time to fill up again because we're pouring it out all the time. So whether it's unplug, disconnect, or refuel, we're all kind of saying the same thing, is that if you don't do one of those things, then what will happen is you will eventually break down. Like in the metaphor, the light bulb eventually blows, right? In the metaphor, the car eventually runs out of gas and it breaks down. And so if you are feeling a little bit burnt out, if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed, if you're feeling like, you know what, man, I just can't keep doing it this way anymore. Those are big signs. Like those are huge red flags. And my suggestion is that you take those red flags quite seriously. You know, most people that burn out from business or team leadership or feeling like they're just carrying the weight of the world's challenges, you know, it's a pretty thick menu when you run a business, lead a team, are responsible for putting food on their table, but are also trying to drive high performance there. You've also got a family. You've also got your own mental and physical health to look after and take care of, and probably quite social as well. It's a lot. It's a lot to hold space for. And what I imagine to be true is that 5 days before every person that's ever burnt out, I reckon they were fine. I reckon they were stressed and they are a little bit like, you know, full and like at capacity, but they didn't have the foresight to go, I'm about 5 days out from fully blown professional burnout. And part of this is about preventing that. Like, absolutely, we don't want epic people like yourselves to get burnt out, because then things get worse and it's more difficult. We want to prevent that, but we also want you to stay in the fast track and stay in the lane of high performance, because that's where you're going to really start to see the upside and the benefits of the decision that you made 5, 10, 15, 25 years ago to start a business and lead a team.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt you and say, hey, a quick thank you. Thank you for tuning in. And I hope you're loving this episode. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like you reached the top of the mountain only to realize there's another even bigger peak ahead? So if you have hit the $1 million revenue mark already, but suddenly the strategies that got you here aren't really working anymore, growth has slowed, you're making bigger decisions, managing a larger team, and the weight of it all, well, it's a lot. It's exactly why I created the Salon Mastery Boardroom, and it's an exclusive place designed especially for salon CEOs like you, where you've gained a high level of achievement already. In the boardroom, we discuss high-level strategies, leadership insights, business model shifts, and things that we need to reach the next big milestone. Sometimes you just need a new milestone. Inside of Boardroom, you'll also be surrounded by powerhouse women and men, a powerhouse of community, and other $1 million plus salon owners sharing insights, challenges, breakthroughs, because scaling to multi-$1 million, well, you shouldn't have to do it alone. So if you're ready to take your salon and your leadership to the next level, let's talk. I'd love to invite you to a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll map out your next steps, explore how Boardroom can support your journey. All you need to do is click now. I've put it in the show notes of this episode. Let's talk about your business and see if we're the right people to help you with your next step. All right, well, that's enough for me. And let's get back to the episode.
This period of time is about disconnecting. It's about unplugging. It's about refueling. And so I want to talk a little bit about something I learned back in 2016. It was a study done by someone far more capable than myself on high performance. And he and his team conducted a whole bunch of research on what is it that creates high performance. And again, just to reiterate, when I say high performance, I'm talking about able to perform in a way that both produces incredible results, but is also leveraging back time so that over the long term, it's not only sustainable, but it's enjoyable. And so this particular body of research found that, and it was called the twin cycles of elite performance, the twin cycles of elite performance. So it's kind of like move over high performance. This is what elite performance is all about. So the twin cycles of elite performance, first of all, in the title, it's suggestive that there are two cycles that create elite performance. It's not just one thing. It's not just go and rest and all of a sudden it's going to magically create elite performance. And so the two cycles are called, number one, the high excellency cycle. And what the high excellency cycle is all about is doing epic work that produces valuable results to the team, to the marketplace, aka your clients, to the business world, to yourself, to your family, etc. And you know you're in the high excellency cycle when you're creating, when you're being a creative. And I don't necessarily mean doing hair or consulting skin, but what I do mean is you're doing the on the business stuff that makes the business run better without you. That's essentially the underpinning of what Salon Mastery is all about, is creating systems that set you free. And so the high excellency, so we often say to our owners, like every 6 to 9 weeks, we game plan with them. And we talk about the high excellency cycle. And we talked about what is the time you've got not to work in the business, cutting hair, consulting skin, etc. Not to work off the business, like go and spend time with your family and have an enjoyable life. But what is the time you have to work on the business, like to actually move it forward? Because anyone can open a salon and anyone can be in the business and anyone can go home on the weekend and be off the business. But who's actually working on the business, like on it, and taking it from its current state to its future state? Who's doing that? And how many hours a week can you commit to that? That's what we mean when we talk about high excellency cycle, is what systems are you implementing that make it better? What tactics are you implementing that make the people or the culture better, more efficient, a safer culture, all of the things? So having hard conversations might be an example of high excellency work or cycle, because if they don't happen, you have a fractured culture. And if you have a fractured culture, performance suffers. So the high excellency cycle is really underpinned by great work, and you're not unfamiliar to that. What you probably didn't know, which I think is really useful to know, is at a hormonal level, the major hormone at play when you're working on the business doing high excellency work is what we call dopamine. And there's lots of ways that you can create dopamine. Like literally, if I go and buy a cookie and eat it, I'll experience on some level dopamine. It's kind of like the pleasure hormone that gets released when we do things that are easy and enjoyable. And yeah, you watch some Netflix and there's probably some dopamine payoff there. Like, it's good. And this is one of the reasons why people just like yourselves get addicted to working, because when you produce, it gives you dopamine. And dopamine's great. It's fantastic. But what happens over time is that it starts to diminish, aka the it's kind of like, have you ever had this experience before? You have like, I don't know, say like a fizzy drink and you're drinking this, like say it's a Coke, for example, and then straight afterwards you have a Kit Kat, like a chocolate bar. For some reason, the Kit Kat doesn't taste like how it normally tastes. Like it doesn't hit as sweet as it normally hits. And it's because your that receptor has been dumbed down by the Coke that already got the hit. And what happens over time is the more dopamine that you experience, it starts to dumb down. And you've got to do more in order to achieve that same level of pleasure. And so we work harder. And so we work more. And we work longer. And we give everything to everyone else. Unfortunately, we give nothing back to ourselves. And the twin cycles of elite performance is really about understanding that it's not just about the high excellency cycle. It's also about, and if you can imagine two circles right next to each other, the second one on the right is called the deep refuel cycle. Deep refuel cycle. It's probably pretty self-explanatory. This is where we don't do epic work. We do epic rest. And in particular, I think we do real refueling. Like we literally do things that make us feel really good, just as a human. And I'm not talking about work stuff. And we stop doing things that are considered work or considered on the business or high excellency. And we give our entire nervous system a chance to recuperate, a chance to disconnect, a chance to refuel from the 11.9 months that have been. So the deep refuel cycle is underpinned by doing less, and also within that, doing the things that you perhaps haven't done recently that actually allow you to feel like a truer, fuller, a rejuvenated version of yourself. And I'll talk about that shortly. Whereas the high excellency cycle is literally about productivity in an efficient manner. That gives you a really good return on your time investment. The hormone at play in the deep refuel cycle is one that we call serotonin. And serotonin has often been attributed in literature to it's like the happiness hormone. It's the happiness neurotransmitter. And whilst that is figuratively true, what serotonin really is it's the, when I do something like in the high excellency cycle and it's something that produces a result, serotonin is naturally and automatically triggered in the reflection. So after this podcast, like I walk away and I'm like, if I reflect on it, even just for a moment, like, oh, really glad that some people are going to listen to this and maybe be inspired to take better care of themselves and like just that reflective moment, that will release serotonin and my day will be better because of that hormonal experience. The stressed out, still in the hustle era, plateaued person moves straight from the podcast into the next thing, into the next thing, into the next thing, and leaves emotional residue everywhere they go. And they never get the serotonin. And it's really, really important. And I'll tell you why. And we only found this out in 2019 is that, you know how I talked before about the Coke and the Kit Kat and that, you know, if it's just like dopamine, 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 after a while, it's like starts to dumb down and your ability to experience that quote unquote pleasure is actually like, you've got to do more. You've got to achieve more. Well, what we know from the research is that, and this only came out in 2019, which is only 6 years ago now, serotonin resets dopamine levels. It resets dopamine levels so that you're sensitive to the dopamine or you're resensitized to the dopamine. And this is what is meant by the twin cycles of elite performance is not necessarily one for one, but in a healthy balance, you experience both dopamine. Oh my gosh, this is awesome to be in flow doing something that has an impact, a great return on investment that I'm particularly proud of. The business appreciates, my family appreciates, my bank account appreciates. That's called the high excellency cycle. And not too far in the near distance is a moment, a minute, or a massive amount of time where you jump into the deep refuel cycle, experience serotonin, which resets dopamine levels, and you, at a hormonal level, are just that much more of a whole person. And I think this understanding allows us to create a massive buffer between our intent, our behavior, and the burnout that we often refer to with work that is go, 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 go. And so the Twin Cycles Elite Performance is not rocket science. It's not something that you know, oh my gosh, but I just wanted to paint a picture and a case for making sure you understand that the go, go, go strategy that you learned from your parents or grandparents that worked to get them to a level of success, and that, you know, commentators, business gurus on Instagram and YouTube and everywhere still to this day reinforce the hustle culture. Like, I really do think it's a great tool to have in your kit, but it shouldn't be the underlying strategy. At different times and seasons, absolutely. Head down, ass up, make it happen. When it's on, it's on. As a business owner, we don't always get to choose. But if over the last year you've been on the in the same gear, like in third gear, on the motorway, if you drive an automatic, this might not make sense. If you've been in third gear on the motorway and your revs are like plus 6,000 revs, and it's just like, you just need to drop down a gear. You know, you just need to take a bit of a break. You've been operating at such a high level. Anyway, so as I said, this is kind of how we framed up intensive in terms of what our clients need to be doing in the 2 weeks from the 24th of December till the 11th of January. And for many people, they'll come back before then. For some, they'll come back after then. But generally speaking, we want to make sure that our people have an incredible break and they don't feel guilty while they're on their break, which is why in front of this, we had a record break in December. And afterwards, we set them up with an incredible launch plan. I think there's some other psychology at play as well as to the reason why this works. And so I don't know if you've had many holidays recently, but often when you go on holiday, let's say you get on a plane and you go to Perth, which is on my bucket list, or you go to Bali, we're going there next year for our Salon Owners Collective Intensive. It's going to be incredible. Or Fiji, you know, down here in the Southern Hemisphere, we keep it pretty local. After you've had a few days in the sun and you've read a little bit of your book, like there's this experience that many business owners have, which is like, I actually feel quite quote unquote hungry to get into some work. Like I feel rejuvenated. I feel a sense of hunger, not literal food hunger. If you're on holiday, you're probably already eating too much. But I mean, like that hunger to do something productive again. And it's such a great feeling to like want to get back to work. Let's just, can you remember that? Like you're being forced to go on a holiday and you're away and you don't have to do any work and it's all sorted. And you're like 3 days in or 5 days into the holiday. And it's like, I want to work. I want to sort out that thing that I couldn't sort out when I was in it. So good. I remember, I haven't done this in a couple of years, but for 6 years, there was a period there where I would go away every December for 3 days. And I'd leave on a Friday morning and I'd come back late on a Sunday night or Monday morning. And I'd do nothing but adventure and refuel. So often it would involve some kind of walking or being around a river, often solo. And what would happen naturally, not because of the adventure, but more so because of the disconnect from my constant usual normal, is the hunger would show up, the hunger to want to do something useful, to want to do something that would move my business forward. And so this is one of the amazing reasons why you should consider really truly refueling and disconnecting this coming Christmas, is because hunger will show up and it's good. It's good for your business. I think the other thing that shows up for a lot of humans, and there'll be some truly documented research on this, and I'm sure there's a psychological framework that unpacks this, but you ever been like told you can't have something? Like, you know, go away and don't do any work for 8 days. Just go and be on holiday. It's kind of like, there's a part of you that's just like, oh, because I can't, I want to. And we call this desire. It's like, I want to have the thing that I can't or I shouldn't have, right? And I just think, again, it's another psychological tendency that works in our favor where you stop for a little bit. It actually, all roads point to positive. Like you start to get quote unquote hungry, the desire shows up. And probably the third thing is deep down, because you're an entrepreneur, because you're a creative, because you run a business and a team, the need starts to show up. The need to actually do more, to do something that's going to be useful. I remember back at COVID, you know, it was in lockdown, but you could still go to the supermarkets. And I don't think we needed more toilet paper at home. But somehow I'd convinced myself that, you know, based on what we're seeing on the news, I need to go and get more toilet paper. I need. And so sometimes we create the need. Sometimes the desire shows up. Sometimes we are super, super hungry. But all things said and done, your brain is going to, in some way, shape, or form, get you back on the productivity train eventually. Like, you don't need to worry if you take a break, you might become lazy. If you take a break, you might not be able to get back into things. Like, you've got hunger, you've got desire, and there will be a need for you to step back up and make it happen. And so it is at this point in the podcast that I really, really want to say to you that the only person that can make a refuel or a disconnect or a true CEO break happen is actually you. And so if you do nothing else when you get out of the car, or maybe right now you've got access to a pen and paper, I know this seems like super elementary, but this is how high performers roll, is we understand that the brain is not designed for our growth and development, but it's rather designed to keep us safe. And one of the things that I think could be really useful right now for some of us is to literally write down these words. I give myself permission to rest and refuel this Christmas. Love, your name. Or if you want love, SOC. You know, like, we want you to have permission to rest and refuel. We want to encourage you to do that. We think that it's an incredible strategy. If there's a time of the year that you deserve it, it's right after your record-breaking December. December's only a 3.5-week period. You already know that. So it's like you're going to put your head down and make stuff happen. So why not take 3 or 13 days off after that? I guess one other thing that I do want to share about taking a break and really disconnecting and refueling is that, let's just say you do it. You're like, Joel, I reckon it's a good idea. I think I should do this. There was a Chinese philosopher lived many, many years ago, like 300 years BC, said that a person attempting to travel two roads at once will get nowhere. Like, you can't do it. And I think when you're trying to do both, like a little bit of work during the break, but there's a lot of distraction around you, so it's not meaningful work, but you're supposed to be resting, so at least it's something. What happens is that you're actually not that productive in either the deep refuel cycle or the high excellency cycle, so you get no gain. It's like you're right at that fork in the road, and you're not going this way or that way. And when that happens, we lean into escapism. We get on the phone, we doom scroll, we drink more, we eat more. We just escape the unknown reality that is, I'm not actually improving in any area. I'm not refueling, and I'm actually not being that productive. So this is important. This is important that you don't find yourself at the end of your 3, 5, 7, 9 days off and be like, I don't actually feel refueled, and I didn't actually move the needle in the business in any way, shape, or form. That would be absolute failure. And you've done it enough in the past to know what that feels like, so don't do it again. The three principles that we talked about, and then I'll let you get into your refuel, is number one, to celebrate the gain. You know, we spoke about this with our owners, like, so much of your career, so much of your performance, so much of what you've done in the quiet of your salon when no one's there, up late in front of your laptop. So much of that has never been seen, has never been acknowledged, and it's never been celebrated. So many people don't know about what it is that you've achieved. The mindsets that you've evolved through, the situations that you've dealt with, the problems that you have grown through, the wins and successes, like you have been significantly understated and under-celebrated. And because of that, we think that if we just keep doing more, eventually one day we will be celebrated. But the thing is that you won't. Unless you do, you've got to celebrate the game. You've got to stop and reflect. Tony Robbins once said, if you want to get more out of life, reflect. Now, I don't know about you, whether you love the guy or just like you're not really into the guy at all, I think his success would validate the logic, the psychology, and the merit of his work, which is he helps human beings transform. And I just think that there's something in that, you know, like we talk about it at the hormonal level, that it sets off and allows your brain and your body to experience serotonin. That feels good. It makes you feel happy. And the way to do that is to reflect, like it's to look back. And so how can you do that? How can you celebrate the game? The second principle to govern this period is called remove what's not. So Michelangelo, the world-renowned sculptor, artist, amongst many, many other things, when asked how he sculpted the David, it was reported that for him, he removed the excess marble from the block to reveal the figure that was already there. It's kind of like a different way of looking at creation. So instead of having a piece of marble and then out of that he would create the David, he was saying that the David was already there. He just had to get it rid of what was not supposed to be there. And this is what we mean when we say remove what's not. This is the principle. Is, and his direct quote was, I saw the angel in the marble and carved until I set him free. And so this unplugging period is about celebrating gain. But once you've done that and you're experiencing high levels of serotonin, what you want to do is you want to actually remove what's not, remove out of your life the thinking, the habits, the behaviors, the things that are not serving you well. I'm going to strip away the excess, the stuff that's not meant to be there. We're going to go back to basics just for a couple of weeks so that you are at your very, very best. And then finally, the final principle that we use to help our owners really set themselves up for an incredible break is we shared with them the importance of returning to source. So you've celebrated the gain. This happens in the first like day or two of your break. You're feeling like quite happy because serotonin. You have removed what's not. You've said no to this and less of that and, you know, that sort of thing, and kind of like some real clear boundaries. And then the returning to source is, if you think about it this way, so Batman retreats to the Batcave. Like after he's gone out and he's done his work, retreats to the Batcave. The Ninja Turtles, they went back to the sewer, right, to the lair in the sewer. Harry Potter retreated to the Burrow. Luke Skywalker retreats to Dagobah. The Avengers retreated to HQ. Frodo from Lord of the Rings retreated to Rivendell. Rocky, the boxer, goes back to the gym. Po and the Kung Fu Panda retreated to the Jade Palace. Simba and the Lion King retreated to, and I love this one because it's not a physical place, but retreated to the vision of Mufasa. You notice this a couple of times in the movie. And these are characters. These are fictional characters, but the principle is returning to source. You've got to go back to where you can rejuvenate, which is you're going to go back to a place or go to a place in your head that allows you to refuel and rejuvenate, to become better, to go and go back and heal, if you like. And I think this is such an important part of what you do in your break. So there you have it, the importance of disconnecting, of refueling, and making sure that your time off this Christmas, this transition out of December and into January, the new year, 2026, is nothing short of brilliant. We literally framed up our whole intent of saying, what if the next 10 weeks in your business is the best 10 weeks in your business? What would it require you to achieve? And this is what we came up with. You would need to have a record-breaking December. You'd need to wake up on, I don't know, the 27th or the 28th, maybe the 2nd of January, and you look back over December accounts, bank account, revenue, zero reports, and you're like, holy shit, that was a record-breaking December. That would be a part of it being the best 10 weeks. The next part would be, I'd need to know that January is laid out, January 2026, is laid out in a way that doesn't have me overwhelmed or underwhelmed. Like the whelm is just right. I'm right there in the middle of, I know what the key outcome for week one is. I know what the key outcome for week two is. Week three, this is what's happening. And week four, this is the result that we're going to produce. And above all else, if we achieve nothing else, those four results will have us on February the 1st looking back going, I'm so proud of the way that I kicked off the year. And then the third piece of the puzzle, which actually fits right in the middle of those two things, is of course a guilt-free, much needed, very much appreciated refuel. It's an actual disconnect. And I think just between me, you, and the lamppost, you actually really bloody deserve it. So if you needed a nudge, if you needed permission, maybe this is it. Maybe this December the 24th, you do take a decent break. You do look after yourself. You do celebrate the gain. You do remove what's not, and you do return to source. Because I think in doing that, by default, you set yourself up unconsciously or consciously for the very best version of you to show up in 2026. Now, I don't know about you. I can't speak for your team. I can't speak for your brand. And I can't speak for your business. But I reckon all of those things would appreciate the heck out of it. So go well, rest well, and we'll see you in 2026.
All right, Salon CEOs. Take a breath. You know you can't run on hustle forever. Your team members, your numbers, and your nervous system, they all need a recharge, and they need a recharged version of you. Not the burnt out, just push a little bit harder version. So as you move into the new season, act on what you've heard today, celebrate what you've achieved, let go of what drains you, and choose how you're going to unplug so that you can return clear and confident as the salon needs you. 2026 will reward the salon owners who choose to lead differently, who step up and become the 1%, not the ones who sit in the treatment room and hoping things will magically get easier. So if you want support building your business, building your salon, building a high-performing team, building a 12-month client plan, building a lean and luxe model, maybe you're just wanting to build your first 7K stylist, your CEO systems, maybe they need an upgrade. This is exactly what we do inside of Salon Mastery. So if you're listening and thinking, this is me, I need to step up this year, and becoming one of the top 10% or the 1%, as we say, is really on your agenda, then maybe we should have a chat. Maybe we can just chat about where you're at, where your salon is at, and where you want to be for next year. All you need to do is click the link in the show notes below, book a strategy call with me. Now, just note, we only work with 5 salon owners at a time. Just note, we only work with 5 salon owners at a time, so don't wait to apply. Let's make 2026 the year that you build the salon that you were meant to lead, not the one that you just stuck inside. All right, that's a wrap. Till next week. Ciao for now.